Blog Talk Radio.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God.
Good evening, and welcome to Atlanta Life Radio Presents, There is Life After Layoff. Join the conversation with a blogger and our show host, Allie, as she shares her journey of self-discovery and empowerment after being laid off. The opinions expressed on this radio program are for discussion or inspirational purposes only. They do not serve as treatment or as a professional diagnosis. All listeners are advised that neither the host or Web Talk Radio agents shall be held liable for the content of programs, including advice given. All listeners are advised to make their own decisions based upon receiving appropriate consultation with a licensed professional and who have been given the opportunity to consider completely each listener's circumstances and not in reliance upon the content of this Web Talk Radio program. Thank you for joining us for a new year and a new season, 2014. And as we say each and every show, join us by getting a piece of paper or your journal and a pen or a pencil so you can take notes as you join in our journey this evening. And tonight we have a very, very special show and a special guest. So without further ado, put your hands together and join me in a virtual applause as I welcome our show host, Allie, to the air. Allie?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the next episode of There's Life After Layoff Radio. I'm Allie, and I'm thankful to be your host, and along with my regular co-host, Minister Dr. Regina Ward Porter, the founder of Elite Psychological Services and who is a licensed professional counselor specializing in anxiety, adjustment, and depressive disorders. It is always our pleasure to be your guide as I take this journey of self-discovery and empowerment after being laid off, and as Doc affirms normalcy of feelings while offering you practical solutions. Please join in on the conversation with us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. through the Atlanta Life Radio website at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And I am happy to say that with a new year comes a new look. So I invite you to visit and follow me on my new and improved blog site at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. So please check it out. And please make sure that you post a comment as you do that. And as well, you can also find out more about Doc and her services through her website at www.elise, spelled E-L-I-S-E, psychologicalservices.com. And if you wish to contact us directly, you can always do that via email at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. So please continue to also follow us on Twitter. I'm at Allie Ward 45, and you can follow Atlanta Life Radio on Twitter at ALR Radio. And I'm also on Instagram at hashtag Allie Ward 45. And so on behalf of Doc, Mel D, and myself and the entire There is Life After Layoff Radio team, we thank you for listening and for joining us this evening as we share with you our insights into the experience of being laid off. Now, last week, not only did we toast in the new year, and for those of you who weren't able to join us, I want to say Happy New Year, but we also celebrated the one-year anniversary of There is Life After Layoff on Blog Talk Radio, which is huge for us. And as Doc and I celebrated, we were joined on air by our executive producer, Melinda Davis, Mel D., and also by the editor-in-chief of our soon-to-be-launched e-magazine, Ms. Jennifer Giles. So we all reflected back over the past year's journey and how it has truly blessed our lives. Now, tonight, once again, I am happy to have our executive producer, Mel D., joining me as we take a look at the employment projections for 2014. And later on in the show, we will also be joined by Captain Dwayne Johnson Sr. from the City of Atlanta Fire Department to talk about heater safety during the frigid temperatures. And you know what? It's just in the nick of time because I hear tomorrow they're predicting flurries. So, you know, we all need that information. But I want to first thank Mel D for joining me tonight.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, and I'm really, really looking forward to sharing the 2014 employment forecast so that people know how to plan.
Absolutely, absolutely. So thanks again for being here. But as always, before we get started, there are a few announcements, and I want to say that for those of you who may be listening or who may be calling in for the first time, I want to remind you that we're here to use this forum as a way to uplift, empower, and hopefully inspire those of you who have been affected by a layoff. And we are not here to complain. We're not here to ridicule or point fingers at our former employers or colleagues or any individuals. And we are definitely not here to feel sorry for ourselves. But mostly we are here so that we can share with you our journeys of rediscovery and empowerment. But most of all, Doc, Mel D, and I are here to serve you, the community, and to give you a voice by offering you an opportunity to share your story. And if you didn't get a chance to call in last week to share with us on our one-year anniversary show, you can still do that. It's not too late. So with that said, I want to invite our listeners to call in and share with us your sentiments or comments. You can reach us by calling 347-324-5246 and make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into the on-air lineup in our host queue. We will be taking your calls during the second half of the show tonight. And one last announcement before we get started. If you happen to miss a particular show, you can always catch up on what you've missed through the Atlanta Life Radio website, again, at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And it's so convenient to do that by utilizing our automatic player box on the programming page. All you have to do is just click on the show you want to listen to, and it'll start playing for you automatically. And we are still on iTunes, guys, so you can just search for Atlanta Life Radio under podcasts on iTunes, and there you will find us. And all of our past recorded shows are available. And after tonight's live show, you will be able to upload it about an hour or so after it airs. So once again, we thank you for continuing to tune in and to catch up on what you may have missed. Now we are actually ready to get started with our show tonight. We have a lot of information to pass on to you, relevant information that we need to make you aware of. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, Mel D is going to talk a little bit about what they are reporting in the news with regards to the 2014 employment forecast. So at this point in time, I'm going to turn it over to Mel D as we get started. Mel D?
Yes. As I was preparing for doing this segment, I just want to say that I checked several different sources, whether they were economists, universities, or just experts in economic development, and there was some consistent themes. So tonight I'm going to be presenting the consistent themes, but I do employ everyone to get on the Internet and look these things up for themselves so that they can dive into details that are relevant to their particular situation. But guys, and you know, Allie, we talk about the recession a lot, but actually the recession has been over for several months now. So the unemployment rate continues to go down, but it's still not at the pre-recession levels that it needs to be at. So here are what the economists are saying, and there was a consistent theme of optimism for 2014. And many of them refer to 2014 economically as the year for the breakthrough. So, yeah, and I found that very interesting because even on our journey in discussing layoffs and with the number of people who have called into the show, we're seeing that people are starting to heal, but now people are starting to reevaluate, you know, what their career goals are and if they're in the right business sector. So here's some information that can help.
Okay.
Overall, the U.S. economy is projected to generate about 2.6 million jobs in 2014, and that is up from what it was last year, which was 2.2 million. The growth strength is in booming health care, and that's obvious with the Affordable Care Act and the enrollments now going on for the health insurance marketplace. There's going to be a big need for more health care workers. The other segments that are growing are energy and high-tech sectors.
Okay.
Nearly 572,000 jobs are expected to be added in these two large states, Texas and California. And one of my sources was Moody's Analytics. They are a global economic forecasting company, and, I mean, they have a lot of great information.
Okay.
However, we still have over 11 million still unemployed. So state lawmakers still have a lot of pressure on them. There's a lot of discussion about raising the minimum wage levels and also extension of benefits for the unemployed.
Right.
Now, due to the steady home construction sector and robust investments in high technology, especially in the aerospace industry and trade, and also with the increase of trade with Asia, the following states will see the highest job growth. Yeah, guys, you may have to move. Check out these states: Arizona, Oregon, Idaho, and Utah.
Oh, wow.
Interesting, right?
Interesting.
Now, conversely, some cities are going to experience very slow job growth in this year. So if you hear your city, think about moving, or just maybe think about, if you're unemployed, going into a new career.
Right.
But the cities of Buffalo, Memphis, Tennessee, Hartford, Connecticut, and Chicago.
Oh, wow.
Chicago are expected to see the slowest job growth.
Wow.
So, you know, you want to ask yourself when you hear these kind of numbers, what kind of jobs and what are the type of jobs that are out there and where are they?
Right.
Now, nationwide, again, the fastest growing job markets are in healthcare and construction.
Okay.
In Florida, for example, there is a high job demand for cement masons, construction project managers, and carpenters. In Colorado, there's a high demand for registered nurses and retail store workers.
Okay.
RNs and physical therapists will be needed in Idaho and South Carolina through 2020. There's also an energy boom. A lot of you have heard on the news how North Dakota is creating jobs faster than any other state. And surprisingly,
wow,
in my research, I found out that North Dakota and Texas have surpassed Alaska in oil production. You know, a couple
really?
Of years back, a lot of people, a lot of families were moving to Alaska because they were working on the oil rigs and oil production.
Right,
well,
right,
guess
right.
what? You can come back to the mainland because North Dakota and Texas are booming. Now, unfortunately, Alabama and West Virginia are expected to be below the national average in U.S. job growth in 2014. Now, forecasters also predict that the unemployment rate will remain and hover around the 7% range, which is where it is right now, and it will not reach pre-recession peaks until 2015. So I guess that's why they phrased the year 2014 for 2014. Now, if you live in the state of Georgia, here's the outlook. The job growth areas are in construction, professional sectors, and when they say professional sectors, they're talking about the private sector and small businesses.
Ooh.
So this is a great place for entrepreneurism and developing small businesses.
Yes.
But there were two areas that shocked me, but then when I thought about it, I thought about when I drive on 285, those trucks that I try to avoid. Well, there are two areas where there are plentiful jobs, mining and logging.
Wow.
Logging.
Oh, interesting.
Now, in the Atlanta area specifically, Atlanta is expected to add approximately 57,000 jobs, which is up 2.4% from 2013. So, guys, I think this is the year of finding out if you're in the right career, if you're unemployed, maybe getting go back to school to get training and train in one of the up and high-demand job areas. And also, don't be afraid to relocate.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that is the summary of the 2014 employment outlook, okay, and forecast.
did an awesome job, Melody. Thank you for sharing that information with us. And I know it was a lot to try to condense in this little bit of time, but you did an excellent job. And I wanted to kind of piggyback on what you were saying. I heard a report that experts are actually saying that the current unemployment rate that they are reporting is really not as accurate as a lot of people would think it is, because what they found is that a lot of people have just stopped looking for work.
Yeah, there is that segment, but with a lot of forecasters, I mean, if you're not in it, you're not counted. It's like anything else,
like the
census. If you don't participate, you're not counted. So
Absolutely.
It's really important that people get back in so they can be counted. And more importantly, don't lose hope. I think that's where what we're trying to do here, this life after layoff, you don't have to just say, just go to your home and just say, okay, I'm giving up. No, don't give up. It's just a new time, but with new time, a new era, there are new opportunities. So I want us to continue to speak to people's spirits and try to get those folks back in the game. You got to get back in the game.
You're right. And see, because this is actually where we fit in.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
You know, when you talk about there is life after layoff, you know, look at us as that community resource tool, okay? We are here, and I say it at the beginning of the show, we are here truly to uplift and inspire you. For those of you who may be experiencing a layoff or even a life-altering event, to rediscover and walk in your true passion. And just like you said, Melody, this is Atlanta is the place for being a business owner, you know, entrepreneur.
Right.
And I'm going to share a couple of personal stories how, you know, God has led me to some people who really have kind of connected with me, and I'm being allowed to do what I said I want to do through There's Life After Layoff. I happen to know one person who was actually laid off while she was on maternity leave.
Oh, my.
Which, yes, it was devastating. And, you know, I've been talking with her on a regular basis and just kind of inspiring her and keeping her uplifted, because there have been times when she said, you know, she's been so depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a newborn at home, and she, you know, is trying to find a job and the stress is she's a first-time mom and she's a single mother, I might I add. So all of that stress on top of trying to find another job, can you imagine what she's feeling? So I've just kind of reached out to her and I've explained to her, please allow me to be the resource person that will help keep you uplifted. My whole thing to her was, don't get stuck in a depression.
Good.
You know, don't get
That's
stuck.
Good.
Continue to keep it moving, and if there's a time when you do feel depressed, I'm a phone call away. I'm here to listen. If you just need, we at times we need to vent. We need somebody to hear us out. We need somebody to talk to us. I told her, let me be that person for you, and I will inspire you at the same time, because you have to really be careful who you talk to, because, like, you know, we discussed, misery loves company. So if you're talking to the wrong person, that's not going to help your situation, because that's, you know, don't get stuck in anger. Don't get stuck in you know, holding a grudge against your employer or what have you, because that's not going to help your situation.
Right.
So I've really been allowed, God has allowed me to be used in that way for her. And, you know, this is somebody I know. And then I happen to know somebody else who's still working, but they're in that situation where they feel like they're almost, excuse my language, they're in a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation with the manager that they work for. And, you know, and I think we talked about this in another show with Doug, it's almost like people are working in the spirit of fear, under the spirit of fear, and it's almost as if it's a modern day type of slavery situation.
Right.
If you recall that we talked about that.
We did. And we need to revisit that topic and do another show about that, because there are a large number of people who are in fear. And
absolutely.
Whatever we can do to help them to feel a little bit more comfortable in their own skin in terms of what they want out of their lives, we can be that resource also. Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's one of the other reasons why I wanted to redesign my blog, because I also wanted to put on there some job search tools. And so I want to encourage those of you listening, please visit my blog because there is a career resource page. And if you click on it, there are four different job search tools on that page. And I'm glad you talked about what you talked about at the beginning, Melody, when you said, you know, think about whether or not you're in the right career, because actually one of those tools, it's called My Skills, My Future, and it is sponsored through the Department of Labor. But what it allows you to do is you can put in your current career or your job, and it will match you to something else that might be comparable. So that you can probably not, you may not realize that you're capable of doing another job or be, you know, transition into another career. And this tool will help you kind of look at some other areas. So
Great resource, Allie.
Absolutely.
Great resource. So we did all the homework for people. You don't have to navigate the internet. You have the tools on your blog, and we will continue to present tools here on the show. Excellent.
Absolutely. And one of those other tools, I even have one on there for military. So if you're, you know, just getting home from the military, one of the tools that I have there, you can put in the job that you did while you were in the military, and it'll transition you to a job in civilian life. And you can search it by city or zip code. So that's another resource. So people, the resources are there, you know, one-stop shop. You could start there, and then if you don't find something there, you know, at least it's a starting point. It'll get you thinking, you know. Don't get stuck. And, you know, you and I both didn't go to school for what we're doing now. Never in a million years did I think that I would be a radio show host. You know, you have to be willing to step outside of your comfort zone. And
you know, Allie, I think we did go to school, you know, because you're a great writer with your blog. So I think college helped with that, with your writing abilities. But what happens is when you fall down, you dust yourself up, you dust yourself off and get up, and you look at what your interests truly are. And surround yourself around the right people to encourage you and support you as you kind of leap into your vision. So, while we may not went specifically to school for broadcasting,
right?
I think the school of being just spiritual students and being able to speak a truth and transparency and connecting to others, that's the ultimate university. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. It's, you know, connecting to what your purpose is. And, you know, I think I've spoken about this is, you know, with our Bible study group, we talked about that at length. And we still continue to talk about it because, you know, find out what your purpose is, because a lot of times people are in these jobs and it's just a job. It's just a paycheck. They're not happy, but they're complacent. And, you know, they're kind of, you know, stuck in a rut, if you will, and don't know how to get out of it because of fear, you know, that income is going to go away. And so, you know, and it took me getting laid off. I have to admit, it took me getting laid off because for months and months leading up to my layoff, I've shared this before, I've been praying and asking God, please show me what my purpose is. What is it that you want me to do? And he showed me, I guess he probably knew, well, you know what, I know she's not going to just do it. You know, as a mother of two small children, you know, there is that fear, and society makes you fearful. But he said, okay, well, you want your purpose, here you go. I'm going to make you really search your purpose out. And it was through the layoff, but, you know, thanks, all glory to God, I'm happy. For the first time in my life, I'm really enjoying what I'm doing by, you know, touching and reaching and serving others. Through my journey and my transparency. And so I'm so thankful for the opportunity. And, you know, you couldn't ask for better.
Yeah.
Awesome. Couldn't ask for better. So at this point in time, I think what we'll do is we'll wind down to take our first short station break, and when we come back, we will be joined by Captain Dwayne Johnson, Sr. from the City of Atlanta Fire Department, and we will also take your calls. So if you want to call in and talk to us, share your sentiments about our one-year anniversary, we welcome those calls. You can reach us at 347-324-5246. Please make sure that you press the number 1 to be added to the on-air host queue, and you are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio, so please stay tuned.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony,
if you are just joining us, you are listening to Atlanta Life Radio Presents There Is Life After Layoff. Do you have a layoff story? Please share it with us. Email me at mdavis@atlantaliferadio.com. We are planning our shows for all of 2014, and we're going to deal with various topics, and we would love to have our listening audience as our special guest to join on air on the show. I would also like to thank all of our supporters and our sponsors, because without you, this show would not be made possible. If you're interested in sponsoring a show or appearing on the show, please contact me again at mdavis@atlantaliferadio.com. And now, back to our program. Allie?
All right, we are back, and if you're just joining us, we welcome you, and you are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio at www.atlantaliferadio.com. I'm your host, Allie, and along with my co-host for tonight, Mel D, we encourage you to join us every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m., and you can also follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And we are also on Twitter at Allie Ward. I'm also on Twitter at Allie Ward 45, and Atlanta Life Radio can be found tweeting at ALR Radio. So please continue to follow us. And if you want to be a part of tonight's conversation, you can reach us at 347-324-5246 and make sure that you press the number 1 to be added in our on-air host queue. So, Mel D, what has been your experience with this recent snap of cold weather that we've been experiencing?
Well, first I want to say I'm originally from New York, so I'm used to cold weather and snow. But I've lived here in Atlanta for 30 years, and so I got used to the warm weather.
Right.
And even though we have winter, oh, my God, the frigid cold temperatures were just unbelievable. But, you know,
right.
as we endured what we were going through here in Georgia, I really was feeling for the people in, like, Chicago, Detroit, some of those Midwest areas, because they were experiencing, I mean, temperatures like 40 degrees below zero. But what it tells us is that we can't take warm weather for granted. We are going through whatever this weather shift is, and we have to be better prepared here in Atlanta. So I think it's really befitting that we're going to talk about, you know, how to deal with this cold weather and get some professional advice on, you know, how to protect our homes and you know, because people are putting heaters in their homes and don't really understand the, you know, how to use them properly and in danger. So I think this is very befitting because, you know, this is just the beginning of winter. We're not into it. So, and tomorrow I hear, like you said, we're going to have frigid temperatures and possibly snow.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yes.
How about you and your family? How did y'all
feel? Well, you know, my sister recently moved to Michigan, of all times, right?
Yes.
And bless her heart, I had to send her some warm socks with the toes in them.
Oh, my.
She so appreciated them. And she shares her pictures with us, and she has this table on her deck that continues to grow and grow and grow. It looks like a big biscuit on the table.
Oh, my.
And she is so cold. And, you know, she's from South Florida. Okay. And so, bless her heart, she is trying to stay warm, and I hope she's listening. And thankfully, she has a fireplace in her apartment, but, you know, she's experiencing something that she's never really experienced before. So, but anyway.
Okay.
And, you know, we've heard countless stories, as you mentioned, about, you know, I know you've heard about people experiencing issues with frozen pipes.
Yeah.
And, you know, pipes bursting and what have you, not only in addition to the heaters that you mentioned. So I did a little bit of a research and about how what causes that and
right.
a couple of solutions. And do we have Captain Johnson with us?
Yes. Hold on 1 minute. Let me bring him on air. He is with us. And let me just say, good evening, Captain Johnson. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Good evening. Good evening. How's everybody doing?
We're doing great, doing great. I was just getting ready to talk a little bit about why pipes freeze, and I wanted you on the line so that you could correct me if I, you know, I'm not giving the right information. I did a little research, and I found this information through the Weather Channel.
Okay.
And I think you and I even had a conversation about this. And what we talked about was the fact that, you know, when water freezes, it expands. And, you know, an example of that is like if you put a can of soda in the freezer and you forget about it, and guess what will happen? The can will eventually explode, right?
Correct.
And so
correct.
Interestingly enough, ice forming in a pipe typically, and what I found was, is not the cause of the break in the pipes, but what actually happens is that following a complete ice blockage in the pipe, the continued freezing and expansion inside of it causes water pressure to increase downstream between the blockage and the closed faucet, and then that results in an increased water pressure that leads to the pipe failure. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So that's actually what causes your pipes to burst, people. And so, you know, everybody hears that when we are experiencing cold weather that let the water run. Now, what that does is it helps a little bit. It can prevent a pipe from bursting, but it's not that the small flow of water will prevent the freezing, but it helps. But the water can freeze even with a slow flow. So what you could do is open your faucet, opening your faucet will help provide relief from the excessive pressure that builds up between the faucet and the ice blockage when the freezing occurs. So that's why they tell you to kind of let your faucet drip when you're, you know, when we're expecting
right.
Frigid weather. Is that correct?
Yeah, Allie, one of the things that people, one of the old misnomers was that if you let your faucet run, people think that the water will not freeze, and that's incorrect.
Mm.
If you ever looked at a lake at certain points in time with frigid temperature, you're going to see spots of ice crystals forming, even with running water.
Right.
But what happens in a pipe is that the water is running in the pipe, and the water can't go anywhere. It's not like a stream,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
It's in a very confined area. So by allowing the water to drip, you won't have enough water movement for a few weeks ago, it was like 5 degrees.
Right.
You're not going to have enough water movement to prevent it from freezing. But what the dripping faucet will do will alleviate some of the pressure.
Right.
So what happens is that there are a few more things that we have to do. And a lot of it has to do with construction design. A lot of your older houses, just based on technology and design, were not designed the same to take some of the, I'm going to say, the pounding from serious frigid temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been a fireman for 17 years, and during this time of year, we run a number of calls for bursted pipes, and those pipes burst for all of those reasons. Pipes being in the garage, not insulated, off
right.
the ground. It's one thing for pipes to be on the ground or in the ground. You still have the warmth of the earth, even though it may be cold.
Mm-hmm.
But the warmth of the earth still provides a little bit of insulation or temperature, warmer temperatures. But when you have a pipe, let's say, excuse me, that's the same. It's the same concept as a bridge and
mm-hmm.
a roadway. You know, a bridge that's just sitting in air, it freezes because there's nothing there to heat it, unless it's one of those bridges where they have some thermal tubing where hot steam or even electrical wire runs through that provides some type of heat.
Okay.
But without technology of that kind in a garage, or if you have your hot water heater in the garage, or if you have an open garage, then you may deal with the same thing. Also, outside spigots. And when I use the term spigots, I'm just talking about, I got to go to layman's term, what you hook your water hose to. So I said, what is a spigot? Did he say, is he spitting at me? No, we're not saying we're spitting at you. We said a spigot. So
right.
Lot of your outside spigots, the hose or your piping is right there on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things that happened, you would love for the warmth of the house to help, but it may not, depending on how the distance between where that pipe is in relation to where the rest of the heat is coming from. So those are things that you have to consider when you're looking at that. But a lot of times your outside spigots will be the ones where the pipes will burst because it constantly has water in it.
Right.
Unless you have one of those houses where you have a shutoff. Now, if you have a shutoff to the spigot, what you can do is, my house is designed like that as well, I can shut the water off to my outside spigots from the inside of the house.
Oh, wow.
And I open up the outside spigots so it's nothing but air in there, and I don't have to worry about any of the freezing. So that's one thing. But it's still not a guarantee that my pipes won't burst, but those are just things that you can do to kind of try to minimize to preventing the damage.
Right, and I know there was one particular year that my husband actually went to Home Depot and bought these styrofoam covers that actually went over the outside spigot. That's an option too, people, if you ever heard of that. It's just like a white cover, like a cone, I guess, sort of thing that you put over the spigot. But I also read some information where another solution to possibly preventing the breakage is if you kind of let all the water out of your pipes by just, you know, turning off the water source and then just letting all the water run. Is that another way that we can handle or alleviate that pressure?
And now let me ask you this. In what way, when they say turn off the water source, are they talking about to the whole house, or are they talking about...
It says to... what I found was to drain the system, you shut off the main valve and turn on every water fixture, both hot and cold, until water stops running.
Right. Well, yeah, that's also something that can happen. You have to be careful with that so that you can make sure that's a timing issue right there.
Okay, gotcha. Now, while we're talking about the water, Melody also mentioned heater safety. There are a lot of people who are using space heaters, and can you kind of share with us some safety tips if you're using a space heater?
Sure. I think one of the things that we have to realize first is that a lot of us use space heaters as our primary source to kind of save on that gas bill.
Mm-hmm.
And the danger there is that heaters are designed to supplement, not be the main source.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I think one of the first things that we have to do is understand it's just like your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
If I take a basketball and I try to plug a computer monitor to it, it won't work. If I take the computer monitor, if I take that same computer monitor and shoot it through a basketball hoop, I got one shot before I destroy it. So when you put yourself in a position where you use something out of its intended purpose, now, every now and then, you'll discover that something has multiple uses. On the fire department, a lot of the tools that we have didn't start off as firefighter tools. They started off as tools for other things. Like, we have something called a pipe bolt or a ceiling hook. Mm-hmm. Well, that originally came from fishermen and the fishermen hooks that they used back in the day. But we've transitioned that into one of our primary tools in breaking down structures where we need to find hidden fires. Well,
wow.
The thing that we have to make sure is that there's sometimes you will discover something new, but a space heater is a supplemental heating source, not a primary heating source. And a lot of people have gotten away with it, but just because you've gotten away with it, that doesn't mean that you're using it properly. So a couple of things that we can look at.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, you want to make sure that if you are using a space heater, you need to keep it 3 feet away from any combustible items, okay?
Okay.
And what I mean by that is that I've been to a number of fires where a space heater caught the curtains on fire because it was a smaller room, and you find this a lot in a lot of elderly homes. So if anybody
right.
has elderly relatives and they got the house packed out, you know, the room, you just got enough room in the room to walk around.
Right.
And you don't have a lot of room. And then they'll put a space heater in the corner because they cold all the time. Well, what happens is that they're not considering that that's a heat source, that if you put a combustible piece of material to it, it will ignite.
Right.
A lot of people feel like they, if they go to Target, and, you know, for those that know what Target is, my wife helped me know that that's Target. When you go to Target or, you know, you go to that Sears and Roebuck or Wally World and you buy the best fancy-smancy space heater that you can find, it will have safety features like tip over. So if it tips over, it cuts off.
Right.
The problem with that is that it doesn't have to tip over to catch something on fire if it's stored too close to a combustible material. What is a combustible material? Anything that will burn.
Okay.
So we have to be really, really careful in where we use it in the intended use. Let me see, another thing that people do is that typically they want to, if it's a bigger room, they connect the space heater to an electrical cord and then put that cord into the outlet in the wall. That's a big no-no. That is a humongous no-no. Why?
Okay.
A space heater typically pulls, it pulls a lot of juice. It pulls a lot of electricity. And what happens is that the electrical outlet in the wall is designed to have that much power pulled. But that extension cord, you know, we may do the Christmas tree effect. You know how we got one extension cord and we got every type of adapter, every tree light, everything plugged in.
Right, right.
Well, it's kind of the same thing. A space heater pulls so much juice to heat up that typically your average everyday extension cord eventually – and when I say eventually, I'm saying that there is a possibility. It's not a guarantee. There's a possibility that you're going to overload it. And once you overload it, it's going to catch on fire. I give a prime example. I had a relative just here recently that I found out that they had a space heater in the room, and they had the electrical cord running across their bed.
What?
So the space heater, the space heater was in the room. The extension cord was plugged into the wall. The space heater was plugged into that extension cord. It ran across the bed. Well, guess what? It got hot. It got hot enough. It ran. Everything that you look at has a moisture content to it. So it heated up enough to the point where the moisture content left the material, and then it ignited. Now, the blessed thing is that it wasn't a major fire. They were able to kind of put it out. Just kind of pat it out. But it's the ignorance. And trust me, ignorance is not me calling anybody a bad term. Ignorance just means we just don't know.
Right.
So
right.
The ignorance is let me be comfortable. That's the thought. The
but not
ignorance
safe.
Is when you do certain things to be comfortable, you actually can cause yourself problems. And so we have to make sure that we don't plug. So if you have to plug it in, you need to make sure that you find an outlet where the space heater, again, is a supplemental. So you're not trying to get a space heater to heat the whole room. You may want to get a space heater, you know, you put your little snuggly comfortable shoes on, snuggly comfortable socks on. You heat up a little bit, but we're not trying to, you know, if you try to heat a whole room with a space heater, you're asking for problems. Another thing with space heaters is that sometimes the space heater cords can get frayed, and that will cause a shortage. mm-hmm, for continued use. We may walk across it. We may put something heavy on it inadvertently, so you have to look at it from that aspect. You got to make sure that your space heater is on a flat surface, because sometimes space heaters can tip over, and if it's not one of those that will tip over, eventually it's going to heat the carpet up, or it's going to heat your hardwood floors or your linoleum up.
Right.
That can start a fire really, really, really easy. Also, you want to look for, when you buy your space heaters, you want to make sure that they have a little symbol on it, a UL rating. You'll
right.
see a U and an L.
Underwriting Laboratory.
Underwriting Laboratory, right.
Mm-hmm.
They do a lot of stuff. Somebody said, well, who are they? No, they don't make the product. They just test the product and stamp it to say that this product has been made and is safe. So
right.
that's another thing. Also,
Captain
you need to make
Johnson.
Sure you have the...
Oh. I'm sorry.
Ma'am, yes, ma'am. Please, go right ahead.
I had a question. If
mm-hmm.
You have homeowner's insurance and they find out that the cause of the fire was a space heater,
mm-hmm.
can they deny the claim?
You know what? I have really no knowledge in that area.
Okay.
Everything that I say regarding this is going to be a guess.
Okay.
I don't know, because, you know, we have to understand that homeowners insurance is not just for natural disasters. It's
right.
actually covering accidental things. Now, there's a difference between an accident and arson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
if it's found to be arson, my guess is you're not going to get paid.
Right.
If they determine that it was a space heater, and it's ruled as an accident. You know, they interview
mm-hmm.
the people. The people say, hey, I have a space heater in the room. All of a sudden, it caught on fire, blah, blah, blah,
right.
blah, blah. Don't quote me on this, but it's
right.
my assumption that you will still be covered. But, again, I'm not an expert, and I really don't have a
– No problem.
But I can make that determination. If it's arson, don't look for a
mm-hmm.
check.
Okay.
You may be looking at 2 to 3 square meals a day, but
right.
in jail. But don't look for a check.
Right.
Real quickly to kind of round out that aspect about safety. Number
mm-hmm.
one, there are certain space heaters that are designed to be in a bathroom. There are certain heaters that are not designed to be in a bathroom. There
okay.
are certain space heaters that are designed to be outside. You don't want to necessarily, unless it's a combination, you don't want an outdoor space heater inside the house. It's going to put off CO, carbon monoxide, and you will find yourself going to sleep and not waking up. That's not a good day. That's why it's also good to have carbon monoxide detectors
right.
in your homes to detect your CO levels, okay?
Right.
So you have to make sure that the fuel, some space heaters take kerosene. Some space heaters may take other type of the typical one, kerosene. So just make sure that you have a indoor space heater and proper fuel. You know, don't let that side street mechanic rig you up a nice door and next thing you know your house is on fire. So if you want to use things properly, you know. So I think that kind of rounds out a lot of the safety tips. And then if you had your questions, you know, contact your local fire department, fire marshal's office. They may be able to give you some tips on locally what they recommend. In certain municipalities, you may want to buy a kerosene space heater, and that may be against local ordinance.
Okay.
So that could, now to go back to Melody to your question, if you break the law with your space heater, you may not get paid.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
So that's something to consider too. So a proper space heater for the proper municipality for the proper use, you'll stay warm and toasty.
Thank you so much. And, you know, for those of you who are tuning in to us on a regular basis, that's our very own Brother Pass with our men's series. So he wears many hats. So we thank you for your contribution, and we look forward to continuing the men's series in the new year. So thank you for all of
Let me add one thing. Add one thing real quick. I want to say congratulations to you all. I was at work at the fire station, and I did not get opportunity to call in to wish you all happy anniversary. But happy anniversary to you guys, Doc.
It's good to hear Mel D not just in the background giving her announcements, but she's coming out now, letting her voice be heard. So congratulations to you all. I think that
you all
have a great platform. I even see you all getting bigger and bigger as a resource, not a resource, but a link. So I'm changing the term.
Wow.
Where people can, you know, it's amazing how people find information. First,
right.
You got people that have TV series, The Doctors, and they give all this information about the body and stuff like that, and they're being successful.
Yeah.
So don't be surprised if your link to the community between jobs and things of this nature. I can see businesses right now coming to you all and say, hey, we need to advertise, get somebody, get us into the people. So
I received that.
Just let God use you all and what y'all got going on.
Thank
you so much.
Thank you so much, and thank you for being part of the team. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Mel D, do we have any callers by any chance?
Well, I'm happy to say our board is lit up, but no one has hit pound one to come on air. I think they were so busy writing down all that great information.
Oh,
so,
okay.
We don't have any callers right now. Mm-hmm.
Even in Doc's absence, I am ready to share some scripture.
How about
that?
That sounds wonderful.
We always want to relate everything back to Scripture. And so I thought that it was in keeping with our topic tonight, too, as what I talked about and what you talked about us being a resource to the community, which means us helping one another. So I found a Scripture that I thought was perfect for what we're talking about, and that is Philippians 2 verses 1 through 4, which is actually, just to give you an overview of what that scripture is talking about, this is Paul, who was in prison at the time, okay? Now, mind you, he's in prison, but he was writing to thank and encourage the Christians in Philippi, and I hope I pronounced that right, and he was showing them a different way in his writings to approach relationships with people. And so in doing that, he shared with them three examples that people should imitate in their relationships with other people, their interpersonal relationships. And those three things that he was showing us in these particular verses are, number one, consideration, number two, humility, and number three, contentment. So I'll read the scripture to you. It is, if therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Okay? And the one thing that I wanted to point out about this particular passage in this scripture is the fact that although Paul was in prison, he still took the time to thank and encourage other people. So a lot of us in our everyday lives may be in bad situations, our own personal prison, so to speak. But that does not mean that we can't reach out and be an encouragement to other people, okay? And everybody knows that I am a big fan of Joyce Meyer. And one thing that I came across while I was studying to prepare for tonight and studying the scripture, I found something that she said that I wanted to share. And it says, you know, somebody was telling her that they were not a preacher. And, you know, and she said to them, you are a preacher. And I'm quoting her now. She said, maybe not with your mouth all the time like me, but as a believer in Christ, your life is a living sermon. At work, at the grocery store, at school, your life should encourage others by showing them the love of God working in your life. And you don't even have to open your mouth to do it. So we need to understand and know that, no, you don't have to be a pastor or a minister, but your life is a testimony to others, and people are watching you whether you know it or not, and let your life be an example, and even in your own home, you know, as a parent. I'm all the time, God has been dealing with me on how to speak love and not, you know, be hurtful with my words, even with my children, my husband, or what have you. And that's not always easy to do because, you know, we have emotions and feelings and what have you, and we get caught up in that. But be focused on that and know that your children are looking at you. And, you know, I have to face my truth and take responsibility for some things that I may have done or said that was showing my children a bad example. But you know what? I'm facing it. So knowing to me is half the battle. So what I want everyone to do as your growth work is to think about and journal how you can serve God with your journey each day. How can you serve him, okay? And how can you be of service to others you encounter daily, even in the midst of your trials, all right? And I'm going to connect that, Mel D, and remind people that please remember that this coming Monday is in our celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s day, that it is a day of service, okay? It is a day on and not a day off. And that relates to the fact that a statement that Dr. King made himself was that he said, life's most persistent and urgent questions is, what are you doing for others? So find a volunteer organization. There are a lot of them out there on the Internet. I myself will be volunteering with Hands on Atlanta. And let it be a day of service. Let your light shine through what you can do for other people, okay? So as we wind down tonight, another wonderful episode. Thank you for being with me tonight, Mel D. I think we shared a lot of helpful, useful information.
Oh, yes. Thoroughly
from start to finish.
Yes.
From start to finish. So on behalf of I want to thank Captain Johnson for being with us as well. Yes. He is just sewn into our little ministry and our journey. And we thank him, and we look forward to the continuation of our men's series, of course, in 2014. And on behalf of myself and, of course, my co-host for tonight, Mel D, and the entire Atlanta Life Radio team and the There Is Life After the Layoff Radio team, we urge you to continue to follow us, and we thank you for following us on this journey. And we do not take it for granted that you have chosen to spend this time with us each and every week. And I pray that you will continue to tune in, and thank you for joining us. And as always, we continue to urge you to be encouraged. And although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you're walking towards, just know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. Continue to join us on this journey and take a leap of faith past the fear in your life. Know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember, there is life after layoff. Thank you and good night.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you through. No need for complaining, just look at this, it's just training to be ready, what God has for you. Tell yourself, no, in you, Lord, my faith in, even when it seems, when you love, that's when your breakthrough will begin. Failure
is not final.
Your life
on any given Sunday, there's always someone who's worse off than you. Now, there's no need for what is bringing you through. Known has come from you alone.